Good morning, everyone. It's been a long time. Good to see you all. I can tell you, during the call to worship and during worship itself and during prayer, I believe that the word that the Lord has for us this morning is fitting. I was taking notes, Christine, as I always do when you do your call to worship. And a few things stood out to me that I will preface the word with today. And one of them was, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. We need Him. We need Him, we need Him, we need Him. We need God's Spirit. Hearing about some of the prayer requests this morning kind of rocked me a little bit. And I'm praying with you. And so continue to pray for me as we go through the word this morning. Another theme that stood out was newness. Newness. And we were about a month into the new year. And for me personally and from many of the people in my network, 2020 has been a rough start to 2020. If it hasn't been a rough start for you in 2020, count yourself blessed, right? But as we all know, change is the only thing that's unchanging, right? And so if you're not in the valley now, you will find yourself there at some point in time. But what I've been noticing is that many of us are in the valley right now. And I've been in the valley. And, you know, God has been whispering many different scriptures to me over the course of this journey that I've been on. And, the past couple of months have been a little rough. But God is faithful. And she read a scripture. I don't remember what scripture it is, but part of the scripture says, God said, I am doing a new thing. Right? I got that the other day, too. Right? I was like, ooh, I'm claiming this in my life. God is doing a new thing. Because I was starting to feel like it was Groundhog's Day. I was waking up and every day started to feel the same. Same thoughts, same feelings, same aches and pains. I'm getting close to 40, y'all. You know, so I'm starting to get a little, you know, ooh, I feel it, my knee, all kinds of different things. My hips, my back, right? Then he said, I will make a way in the wilderness. He said, I'm doing a new thing and I will make a way in the wilderness. And that really spoke to my heart because I was feeling like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Just going around and around and around. And sometimes the wilderness is a place where God wants to commune with us. But it's desolate. Cold at night. You feel alone. You don't have all the emotional and maybe even the physical things that you want to have in that season. Those are those wilderness seasons. You know, I started to question myself, like, man, am I depressed? Where am I at, God? Right? And so then the last thing that she said, well, it wasn't the last thing, but in that part, she said, I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. So God will give us what we need. And so I'm like, all right, cool. I'm ready to go home. That's what I needed. You know, I needed that confirmation, Christine. You always give that to me. Then we went a little bit further. You went further into my sermon. And you started talking about new garments. Putting away the old and putting on the new. And we're going to be in the book of Zechariah today. So I'm going to pray us into there, but you can go ahead and start turning to Zechariah. We'll start right there in Zechariah 1. And I'll give you some context of kind of where this lands and how it relates to where we are today. And we're going to be in the book of Zechariah. One of the what they call the minor prophets is near the end of the Old Testament. Near the end, second to last book.
Let's pray.
As you get to Zechariah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, because without it, we would be lost. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, because without him, God, we wouldn't know which way to go. God, we thank you for this day that you've given us to fellowship with one another. We pray that your words would be impactful, that they would influence us to be brave, to be courageous, to persevere through the times that we're going through right now. Father God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We acknowledge him in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So here in the book of Zechariah, there's a lot going on. And I really resonated with this particular text because of the season that I've been going through. And without getting into too much detail about the season that I've been in, let's just say that we can all get off the path, right? We can all get off the path. You know, I continue to pray and love the Lord and, seek to do the very best that I can. But if we're honest with ourselves, there's a time when we feel a slight disconnect. Yes. There's a time when there's a war that's going on inside of us that kind of, there's one part of me that's doing right and wants to do right, but there's another part that's present with me as well and it wants to do something else. And some days we can give in to, the Lord Jesus Christ and his spirit, and in other days we can give in to the flesh. And so I found myself on the losing side of that battle more days than I can count, but yet I continue to press through. Even coming here and preaching on this day today was a struggle, not because I didn't want to be with you, but because of the war that goes on inside. I believe that right now we are at a very, we're at a pivotal moment right now in the world, in the United States, in our city, where the leadership and just the saints, period, are under attack. There's a lot of discouragement that I sense. Most places that I go, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of bitterness, there's a lot of fear. And we know that where the spirit of fear resides, that God is not there. And so I question, like, Lord, where am I at? And the word that came to me was a famous scripture in text. And he said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. And so I'm like, yes, God, I needed that. And so as I'm diving in and I started to look at the book of Revelation and some of Zechariah, because Zechariah is made up of many visions of what is to come. And oftentimes when we find ourselves lost and in turmoil, we lose vision, we lose sight of what lies ahead. There's times when I feel like that my circumstances became larger than Christ. I felt like my circumstances were unmanageable, obviously, within my own power, but all of us should be able to relate to handling things in our own power, yes? And so here what we have in the book of Zechariah is that the children of Israel are on the tail end of being disciplined by the Lord. Prophets for hundreds of years continue to proclaim and profess to the people of God, repent, repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop worshiping idols. And they had some kings and some priests and some groups of God's people who they follow, but the majority of God's people continue to go their own way. This served as a warning for me, and God is like, look, I need you to turn and change course. So here we are right now after 70 years of God disciplining his people. 70 long years. We're going to start right here in Zechariah 1. The nation of Babylon came in, killed, destroyed Solomon's temple, and drug God's people into captivity, into bondage for 70 years. And it was prophesied by the prophet Jeremiah that it would happen. And so Jerusalem is decimated. It's in ruins. I want you to kind of visualize this, right? How many of you grew up here in Fort Wayne or surrounding area, right? So family, most of your family is here. We know this area. Like sometimes you have to put yourself in the position of the people that we're reading about. Even though this isn't technically a religious center, it is the city of churches, right? There's tons of churches here in the city of Fort Wayne. So I want you to imagine for a minute that a foreign army of pagans come into our land, burn our buildings down, kill our family members, and take us off into captivity into their land for 70 years. That's where they are right now. The people of God. And many of them are probably, well, many have died in Babylon, but for those who were still alive during that thing, they're like, man, how could God do this? But they were warned by the prophets that it was going to happen. And so then a change of command happens, and God sends another kingdom, Persia, to free his people and send them back to their land. So a small pocket, a small group of Jews go back to Jerusalem. The funny thing is that a lot more could have went back, but what do you think happened to the millions of other people that were in captivity? They stayed. They didn't want to go back to Jerusalem. They stayed in Babylon. But a faithful few, one led by a man named Zerubbabel, he was the governor, and also of the royal lineage of Jesus Christ, he led a small group of people back to Jerusalem, and they started to rebuild the temple of God. And so this is where we pick up here in Zechariah. They're surrounded by enemy forces. They're in Jerusalem. It's in ruins. The enemy does not want to see the people of God, these other nations. They do not want to see the people of God be strong again. They don't want to see them become a nation again. But the king that's in charge has declared, as you'll see, Darius, here in verse 1, the king made it so. So here we are, verse 1. It says, in the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. I want to stop right there because that is where it begins at. Today we're going to talk about newness. We're going to talk about change. We're going to talk about rebuilding two things. Rebuilding your vision of what God has for you to do, and rebuilding yourself. And only, you can't do it. Only God can do it. As we're going to look at it, it's God has sent us here to do something, and he has sent us here to become something. We can't forget about those two things. He sent us to the earth to do something, and he sent us here to become someone. Right? And those two things, ideas we find in the story of the temple. There was three separate temples. There was Solomon's temple that was built in accordance with the instructions that was given to David. Beautiful, immaculate temple. You can read about it in the Old Testament. Now there was the second temple that's about to be built by Zerubbabel. And then there's the third temple that was built by Herod, which was destroyed in AD 70. So all three of those temples, it doesn't matter which one we're looking at, they all represent the same thing. They represent God's presence here on earth. They also represent our relationship to God here on earth. If anybody's been like having some issues experiencing God's presence, then this message is for you. If you've been having some issues understanding what it is that God wants you to do next, then this message is for you. If you're having trouble visualizing, I don't care what age you are. You can be 2, you can be 80, you can be 100. It doesn't matter. If you're still breathing on this earth, God still has work for you to do, and you haven't become who he wants you to become yet. And so here we are, we find it, and he says the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, verse 2, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. That's the word. God says, return to me, I'll return to you. Man, that's a great promise. But I want you to know, as a first point, if you're taking down a point, God is going to rebuild and reestablish what it is in your life through His Word. Like, this is a foundational truth. I'm not going to take you all the way to the mountaintop today, but I want you to know that I'm going to give you some foundational truths that if we carry this on, because this is the beginning of a new decade. I know the sum is, 2020 doesn't matter. Oh, but it does. If you can't feel the new season that we're in, and some of us are holding on to the past season with dear life, like I have been, I know, like I can only speak in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. I've been holding on to some things in the past. And as you're going to see here in a minute, so were the children of Israel. They were holding on to some things. And so I'm not going to continue reading through Zechariah, this portion of Zechariah, but there's like 9 visions that God gives Zechariah in this book. 9 visions. I'm going to talk about a couple of them. Alright? Gives them 9 visions. The children of God got off track. Anybody ever gotten off track before? I have. I've gotten off track. Alright? And God is starting to like wake me back up. And that's when you got to get into the grind and really like wake up. You wake up in the morning, just open up your word just a little bit. So this is what I've been doing. So because like when I get off track, I need like a system, right? Because sometimes we like to be haphazard in how we read. So my system, current system is I read 1 proverb and 1 psalm a day, right? And then I take notes on like whatever God says to me. I'll give you like the other day, it was Proverbs 3. Right? He said, keep his commands in my heart. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. And God is just like whispering to me, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Acknowledge the Lord in all my ways. And as I'm looking at this and I'm like lining my life up to this, the word is speaking to me and it's like it's a mirror to me. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm missing the mark. This is how you know when you're off a little bit. When you read the word and it doesn't line up, or it doesn't hit you in a certain way, I'm like, oh man, I got to get this together. So then I read my Psalms and I pray through my Psalms. I read them and I pray through them. And then, like, you would expect that, like, I would read it and then I'd be like, oh, I feel so much better. No. I oftentimes do not feel much better. But I still do it. And at the end of this message, I'm going to explain to you why you got to keep on going. But it starts with the word, and they got off track, and then they got exiled, they got kicked out of their land, right? And now they come back, and they've laid the foundation for the temple. They're starting to rebuild it. It's not here, it's in Ezra and Haggai. They've laid the foundation for the temple already, and then 15 years pass. So that's where we are now, chapter 1. 15 years have passed. Some of you in this room today, you have a great foundation, but you've stopped growing. Truth. Truth for me. God's like, oh, you got a great foundation, son. But now it's time for you to continue the building that you started. But God, the one who began a good work in us, will what? Bring it to completion. And see, somewhere along the line, I started focusing on like the people around me, the situations around me, what I was able to do in my strength, my background, my education, my family. I started like focusing on these things and forgetting that the power that's going to get me to the place that I want to go, it doesn't rest in us. It doesn't rest in anyone in this room. Now, that's a central part, right? But without God, none of it works. So we're going to slide over a few verses, all right, and We're going to look at some of these visions. Then he has some interesting visions. So then one of the first visions that he had a vision of horses, four horses. All right. I'm not going to get too deep into this because it's very, very like heady. All right. Four horses. And these horses went throughout the land and they made sure that God's plan happens. Right. And so, but the interesting thing about this first vision is that God declared that there was peace in the earth. And I'm looking around and they were looking around. They're like, it don't look like peace is happening to me. Because in actuality, their land was still filled with beasts. They were still surrounded by their enemies. There was only a small number of people in their congregation in Jerusalem. They had a limited amount of resources. The country was still in ruins. They started building a foundation that didn't look like it was going anywhere. And so they became apathetic. I'm like, oh, just kind of, you know, go through the motions. And don't we do that in life? Don't we like kind of like get depressed and kind of like down on ourselves and then like start to just, oh, I'm just going to just keep on moving the best that I can one day at a time. It sounds spiritual. But if we look at the thoughts that we are having, do our thoughts, that's why you need those proverbs and you need those songs, because you need to see if your the proverbs give you wisdom. They give you wisdom. And then the psalms allows your emotions and your feelings to connect with the emotions and feelings of God. Other men and women who walk the same walk that you're walking right now, and it helps you connect. You need both of them. One of the interesting things about the foundation of the temple is that it was a lot smaller than the temple that Solomon built. So while they had been released from captivity, God allowed them to go back to their land. They built this itty-bitty foundation for this now itty-bitty temple that would not match the one that they used to have. Anybody ever experienced anything like that? Where you kind of mess something up and then like, all right, it's new, but it's still like, man, it's still kind of not as good as the one that I used to have, you know, and I'm kind of feeling, me and my wife are just talking about this, like, you know, our new house, it's cool, but it's not like the old house, you know, like the old house is older, but it was, I don't know, it was just something about the old house, you know, and I still want it a little bit, you know, and so like we experienced that in life. And that's where they were right here. But it's something very important I want you to know about the temple of God. The temple of God was where the presence of God dwelt during that time. His presence on earth dwelt inside of this temple. So all they had laid was the foundation. Where's his presence? He's like, all right now, it's been 15 years, Zerubbabel. Zechariah, who was the prophet, and Zerubbabel, who was the leader. I need y'all to get together and get this thing together because my people, it's time now. So he gave them a word and he gave them a series of visions. And if you go through Zechariah, you'll hear some amazing visions because Zechariah starts to talk about Jesus. He starts to talk about Jesus in some powerful ways. He starts to talk about a man who was going to ride into a city on a donkey. And then he was going to be rejected by the very people that he went to go save. He started, you know, talking about those types of things. But I want to draw something to you about the temple of God as well, is that you are the temple. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I want you to see this because this is an important concept. Very important, very important concept. Yeah, it may not seem important. It's important, trust me. Because like when you start to really like let it seep down inside of you, that the Spirit of God literally resides inside of you, like it changes your life, right? It changes your life because like I know that. I've been teaching it for many, many years now. But I don't wake up every day like the Spirit of God is inside of me, right? I just don't. I don't wake up like with the knowledge, with the wisdom, with the understanding that the Spirit of the living God, the one who created the universe, the one who set it on its foundations, the one who is going to finish what he started, the one who calls from the beginning, he sees the end, that same one, like he's in me. And so, 1 Corinthians, let me get there. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm cheating. So I have my iPad. It says, Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? I had to take you there because I don't want you to just take preacher word for it. I want the word to speak to you because this is the foundation, the word. The very first thing is like you got to allow this word to get to you. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? See, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt in the temple that they built with hands. So now for the New Testament church, this is the temple that he dwells in, right? And so as we're going forward in the rest of this, in the rest of the text, I want you to see that they laid a foundation. But the foundation that was laid in us, right, we didn't lay that foundation, did we? Christ laid it. So the foundation is laid. Now God is saying, I want to continue to build you up. And this is what it's going to require in order to build you up. I want to take you to another verse, though. 2 Corinthians 6:16. You know I'm going to make you all run a little bit today. 2 Corinthians 6:16. Still talking about this temple. It's important that we get this temple down in us. This word right here, specifically for me, literally for me. I almost didn't make it, brother. I almost didn't make it, but I made it. Yep. All right. So 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to go to 14. I didn't think I was going to have to share that, but I am. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial or demon? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." Spoke directly to me, right? Because I told you I was having this, I'm having the war that's going on inside of me. The old me and the me that God called me to be, right? Certain people that I'm like, I probably shouldn't hang. I love these people, but I probably shouldn't be hanging with these people because of the way of they walk in lawlessness, right? And when you walk with people who walk in lawlessness, then you start walking in lawlessness. So God is speaking to me, and he's like, man, you are the temple of the living God. That's another one. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. This is a word-heavy one today. We got to be in the Word. 1 Peter 2. So we're going to go to 1 Peter 2. That's in the back. I'll give you some time to get there for those of you who are using the text, the Bible. This temple is like, guys, it's been 15 years. I've already laid this foundation for you. And now it's time, Beth. It's time for us to get beyond the season that we're in. And like, we keep hitting this wall is because we can't do it by ourselves. And we're not approaching it in the right way. It starts with a word. And that word, when you get it, it could be today, it could be next week. But when you get this word, you can't let it evaporate and go into thin air. You got to hold on to the word. Then you hold on to the word until God gives you a vision. And then it ain't got to be a dream. It ain't got to be Dungeons and Dragons. It's a vision. He gave me a clear picture like 4 days ago of who I'm supposed to become. Not what I was going to do. He gave me a clear picture of who I am supposed to become. And I'm like, whoa, you know, I was tripped out on it, right? And I felt so good and I felt this peace inside of me. And he's like, well, that's what's at stake right now, right? That's what's at stake. And if you don't start taking these steps, then you can be in the wilderness for, you know, a long time. You know, and I don't want you to be in the wilderness. I don't know who else this is for. This is directly speaking to Andre Beasley, right? So 1 Peter 2:5, this is what he says. He says, I'm going to start at 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones. are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Again, he says, you also, verse 5, as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so here we are once again, we're looking at this temple, Christine. We're looking at this temple. We're trying to be built up. Built up not only so that we can do the work of God, but built up so that we can become who God created us to become. So he's given a set of 8 visions. In the first vision, we see a messenger reporting to God that the surrounding nations that have oppressed God, they are about to be slam dunked. Right? So everything that's been oppressing you, then God is giving Zechariah, everything that's been oppressing the people of God, he said, don't worry about it. I got it under control. I used them to discipline you because you got off track. But I also saw how they took my discipline too far, and so therefore, I'm about to send the enemy in there and wipe them out. And it happened. Right? So God said, I got that under control. The next one was 4 horns that represented 4 powers, and then God came in and used those horns again to destroy, to chastise his people. Some of us in here need chastisement. And it may not be for those sins that we see, those sins that we like to hit people's hands. We need chastisement for issues of the heart. Andre Beasley needs serious chastisement. He's been giving it to me, right? I'm praying that God will lift it up off me. But he's given Zechariah this vision. He said, don't worry because I'm sending in a remedy for that one too. Right? So I'm speaking to all of these things that's happened in your life. Another vision that he gave was a man holding a plumb line in Israel. A plumb line is a tool that measures whether something is vertical, whether it's lined up the way that it's supposed to be lined up. God says, I'm going to send a man who's going to hold a plumb line in Jerusalem, and everybody is going to be found as true. God's going to make everything right. These are the visions that he's given them. He gave him another vision of the high priest standing before God, and he had on dirty clothing. You ever been around somebody with some dirty clothes? Don't smell too good, do it. But anyway, God has the dirty clothes, and he takes off the dirty clothes and puts on clean clothing. God is doing that in our lives right now. These are the visions that he's given them. And then we get to the key text for today. 4th vision. Let's go back to Zechariah. We're going to go to 4th or 5th vision. Let's go to Zechariah 4. And God has some truth in here as to what. So we, first of all, we know that we need the Word. We need God's Word. What does that mean? We can't study the Word like we study mathematics. We can't study the Word like we did in school. That's not the intention of the Word. The intention of the Word is for you to pray, first of all, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to speak to you, to convict you, and then, like, literally go and do what he tells you to do. And then as you go and do what he's telling you to do, you might fall, but you get up again and you try to do it again. Over the course of time, you become who God created you to become. But then God gives you a vision. Maybe a dream. It may just be a flash of an idea that comes to you while you're reading scripture. It may be a confirmation from various angles, just like I was confirmed. Blessed by you again. Blessed by you again. Just the confirmation. See, that's vision. See, God confirmed the vision through you. He confirmed the vision through your story. He confirms the vision through your... He just confirms the vision. Fairhaven got something going on over here. I'm telling y'all, be encouraged, right? Word of God still comes through and is powerful, right? So, let's go to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of sleep. It's me. That's why I knew this was for me. This is me, right? But he's coming. I'm like, oh, I'm woke now. Like, what? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking And there is a lampstand of gold. And I'm reading from the New King James. There's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. I'm going to stop right there because it's a lot. It's a lot. So he has this vision. It's a golden lampstand. So the lampstand, you have this pole, and then you have these, it's like a candelabra. You have these things, and they're holding candles, and it's golden. The interesting thing about this is that that is one of the pieces of furniture that belongs inside of the temple. It's a lampstand, golden. And it allowed the priests to go in and to do their work inside of the tabernacle, inside of the temple. Without a lampstand, they wouldn't be able to see. And another interesting thing about the lampstand is that they would have, that was one of their most tedious duties, was that they had to keep oil in the candelabra or it wouldn't burn. Because the light, God commanded that the light never go out. So the priests had to go in there, do their work, and make sure they had to clean out the soot that would build up in there. They would have to change out some of the hosing, right? And they would have to keep this light lit. So let's go back again to verse 2. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I say, "I am looking, and there's a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it." That bowl really got me, because in Revelation 5, for our concert, oh man, I should have came and invited everybody to the concert, Heal Our Land concert, Voices of Unity. It was, I'm telling you. It was God poured out His Spirit upon that place. And so one of the key verses that God gave me during that time was Revelation 5, and it talked about a huge golden bowl. And in this bowl, incense was like burning, and the smoke was coming out of the incense, and John asked, like, "What is that?" And he said, "It's the prayers of the saints." And so right there in the throne room of heaven, like literally like a fresh aroma, like, just imagine a huge bowl. It says God sees, He smells, all of our prayers, you're being heard. Somebody in here today doesn't think their prayers have been being heard. I'm here to encourage you today. Your prayers are being heard on high today. They're being heard on high today. But here what we have, though, is we have this bowl that's being filled up with oil, though. And so for those of you who know what the oil means, some of you may or may not know, but the oil is the anointing. That's the power of God to do what He sent you here to do. Whenever you read about the oil in the Old Testament or in the New, it represents the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God created you to do. So this bowl sitting on top of this candelabra is being filled with oil from, let me tell you where it's been filled from. Let's keep reading. Verse 3. Two olive trees are by it. One on the right of the bowl, the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Because there are no olive trees in the temple. But I tell you where some olive trees are at. In the New Jerusalem, there's two olive trees next to a bowl. So he's given a vision of something that hasn't been written yet, right? And it just encouraged me, right? It just encouraged me, because these olive trees, the seven pipes are coming from the olive trees into the bowl, keeping a fresh supply of oil. Why? For the light. The purpose of the light is so that you always know what you're doing. So that you always understand what the next step is. The very next step. God might not give you 100 steps, but He will give you the very next step, though. If you come into His presence. If you allow that light to guide you. If your heart isn't so hard that you already made up your mind what you're going to do today. I'm fighting today in my mind. Like, my brain is like, this is how my day is going to go. And then God is like, your day shouldn't go that way. You know, your day should go this way. And I'm arguing with them in my mind, right? I'm like, God, release me from this body. How do we do this? We're going to talk a little bit about it. So we have these two trees, we have this candelabra, we have the bowl on top, and then the two olive trees. Let's look at it. Verse 5. Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Now, Zerubbabel was the governor. Zechariah is the prophet. The prophet now is going to the governor, and this is the word. He says, "Not by might." Listen to me. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit." And so we got to rest and we got to marinate on that right there, because I've been saying it to myself all week, and it ain't got down there yet, so I'm going to need some help from y'all. Not by might. Say, "Not by might." No, not by might. Yeah, because we emotional beings, right? We got to bring out them emotions. So you too, we got to bring out some emotions. Say, "Not by might." That's right, not by might, nor by power. And I want to talk about might real quick, because might, he's talking about the collective, the Hebrew is talking about the collective force of a people. We ain't got it here in Fairhaven. We ain't got it in the city of Fort Wayne. All the might on all the earth, we don't have enough to build this temple. He said it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Power, he's talking about financial, physical resources. Now get this, God understands that we need stone and wood and brick and mortar and gold and all of these things, right, to build the temple. But he said that's not how it's going to get done. You need those things, but that's not how it's going to get done. So we can't put our trust in that. Some of us are putting our trust in our jobs. Don't put your trust in your job. You're like, "But Andre, I need my job." Well, you still go and you treat people how God wants you to treat them. You still work hard every day, but you can't put your trust in that. One of the big things I'm seeing now with young people, and you know I got to get on y'all when I see you, but it's good. Put too much trust in our friends and our relationships. No, 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 no. I love my wife with all my heart. But I trust the Lord first, right? I trust her the most. See, I got trust issues, right? You know, anybody been hurt before, you know, by somebody that loves you, right? And so my wife has grown to a place to where I trust her, you know, more than everyone else on earth. But she's still number two. She's still number two. You know, God first. If God say, "Andre, I need you to do this, 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 and this," then, yeah. So she already knows, but that's good. Don't place your faith and trust in people. You trust them because God tells us to trust others, because he's going to work all things out for the good. Trusting others is to love them. I'm growing in that as well. But we can't put our trust in ourselves. We can't put our trust, faith and trust in our job. We can't put our faith and trust in our money. We can't put our faith and trust in anything. God says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Verse 7, "Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain." See, this is what you got to say to yourself. This is the power of the word. When you're faced, enemy all around, you have limited resources. You don't have a whole bunch of people there to help you get through this thing. You don't know what step to take next. You feel like you've been stuck in this same place for 10 or 15 years. And then God is saying, you got to say to this thing, "Who are you, O mountain?" You got to speak to it, my brother. And I know, like, you got a mountain before you, man. God bless you, brother. He says, you shall become a plain in the Lord's sight. And those are the declarations that we have to make in our lives, as a church, as a people. Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Before Kevin, you shall become a plain. Before Rachel, you shall become a plain. Before Dwayne, you shall become a plain. Before Christine, you shall become a plain. Who are you, great mountain? And he shall bring forth the capstone. He's talking to this guy about the capstone is the last part of the project. It's done. They're still looking at the foundation, been there 15 years. God says no. This mountain that you're looking at, it shall become a plain before you. And I want you to see it. See this vision, the capstone, the finished product being done. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And that is the big thing for me. So then that leads me all the way to the next question, is how? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. So now he gave me this morning. So we're last little bit, we got to journey over to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Man, I was like, ooh, God, that's the finish. That's the capstone. He gave me the capstone on how to make all of this come to fruition. The people of God went back, right? They were in exile. They were trapped in their minds and their bodies. And then he released them. But then they get back and things are all messed up. You would think after being released, everything would go back to normal. Get this. Through change, it's going to be difficult. I want you to, my wife said it yesterday, like a prophetess. Expect difficulty. I've highlighted it. I expect difficulty. Expect difficulty, my brother. But it don't mean that mountain won't be called a plain in your sight, though. It's just expect difficulty, right? And so, we got to be tried by the fire. We got to be tried by the fire. Because in like gold, we're going to be found to be worthy. But not by might, nor by power, but by His Spirit. So Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is what I want you to know. This is what I came to leave you with today. What God wanted me to deliver to you is verse 1. Because the war that's going on inside of all of us, you may not be even be aware of the war, but if you want to read about the war that's going on inside of us, check out Romans chapter 7. Paul was going through it as well. And then he jumped to chapter 8, and this is what he said. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because when we're not walking the right way, there's something inside of us that causes us not to walk the way that God. It's a feeling. It's like, oh man. And then the more we push it down, the worse it gets. So God, Jesus took care of that for you. He said, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do you get into Christ Jesus? You repent. You turn. That's not just for non-believers. That's for everybody. Because we all get off track. You got to turn. That's where it starts at, is repentance. Turning away from what we know to be wrong. It could be erroneous thinking. It could be the people you're hanging around. It could be the places you're going. It could be how you're spending your time. It could be the food you're putting in your body. It could be how you're spending your money. It could be a litany of things that to you seem small, but it's hindering you from moving forward. It's keeping you in that 15-year, I'm just stuck. I'm just tired of being stuck. So God says, well, repent. You're like, but God, I give. I go to church. God says, repent. And so that's the first step. The next, you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Andre, I already did that. No, you got to do it every day. This is something that you got to renew in your mind every day. Like Jesus, sometimes we got to go back to the cross. Ain't that how they taught us back in the day? You got to go back to the cross sometime. When you get lost, I ain't trying to rhyme, but go to the cross. You know what I'm saying? When you get lost, go to the cross. Because we always have access. Has anybody ever seen themselves at the feet of that thing? Has anyone ever seen themselves at the cross and just done? We got to go back. It says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. There it is. There it is. We can't walk according to the flesh, though, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So how do you walk according to the Spirit? I'm glad you asked me. Every single day. You have to pick up your word. Every day. See, I thought you thought I was going to give you something like just out of this world, like, right? Just pick up your word and read it. Because if you don't read your word, you won't hear the voice of God when he's speaking to you. You have to pick up the word. Like, I don't care. Like, you got to pick up the word. Like, you got, some of us brush our teeth more than we pick up the word. None of us would go out into the world. Well, some of us wouldn't go out into the world, right? We run into some who do. We'll go out into the world and not brush your teeth, not wash your face, not look in the mirror to see. Like, the word has to, like, return to being the central thing that we do. It has to be. Like, well, I don't really know how to, like, study it. You're young people. You may not know how to study the word yet. Don't matter. You know why? Because he sent you a teacher. And his name is the Holy Spirit. All you got to do is ask. This is one of the, we ask the wrong people. I need to stop asking her to meet my needs. Some of them. Because really, I need to ask the Holy Spirit to meet my needs. Because really, that's the actual need. We say, well, I don't really know what to read. Holy Spirit, can you teach me how to read the Bible? Can you teach me what to read? Can you guide me? I guarantee you that it will happen for you. How do I know? Because I've done it before. I've done it over and over and over and over again. Holy Spirit, will you guide me? Sometimes we forget to even talk to the Holy Spirit. We only talk to God the Father, right? Heavenly Father. and he hears you, but sometimes, you know, we have to interact with the Spirit of God as well, right? God, Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you had me right there, Christine, the Holy Spirit, you had me right there, right? That's how you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know when grandma or mom used to come to school, some of y'all, and then you would kind of like be on your best behavior. And your teacher would be like, wow, like, I've never seen this person before. Right? Well, we got to stay in God's presence. We got to stay in God's presence. So me, as I'm fighting, I'm trying to shut God out. Like, right? I'm trying to create this little box. Like, I don't see you, God. I don't see you. Right? We have to retain God in our consciousness. And not push him away. Those, I'm only giving you two. No, I'm going to give you three. Three. So one is your word. Read your word every day. And if you don't, just ask them to forgive you for ignoring them. Because think about it. If you're in a relationship with somebody and they only spoke to you when they felt like it and when they wanted something, it wouldn't be a really good relationship. Right? And so we got to. In order, God says, return to me and I will what? Return to you. That's it. Like, he said, I'll do it. And we know he's faithful, right? He says, return to him. So starting the word. I'm like, man, but I still have some issues, Andre, that I need to work out. I didn't say anything about issues. Everybody has issues. Start reading your word every day. Every day. You don't know how? Ask the Holy Spirit. Yep, I'm intentionally repeating myself. Right? Second thing, stay in God's presence. Washing the dishes, talk to God, stay in his presence. Getting ready to have a hard conversation with your spouse, talk to God, stay in his presence. Right? Going to see the doctor, talk to God, stay in his presence. The oil that was in that bowl, when we stay in his presence, he is giving you the anointing that you need to walk through the valley of the shadow of death the way that you're supposed to walk through. Because God already knew that this was going to happen. God already knew that you were going to be here. And he has already supplied your every need. And whether you focus on him or not, he's still going to get you there. But you're going to miss some of what he had for you. Some of what he had for you to do. And some of what he wanted you to become. Because there's two of them. There's things he wants you to do and there's someone he wants you to become. So read your word. Stay in his presence. And last, but certainly not least, believe. You got to believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to believe. Right? And that's, you know, if we be honest with ourselves, you don't have to say amen to this, but I'll say amen. Sometimes it's a faith issue. Right? Or the doubt gets in the way. It only takes mustard seed size faith, but it's the doubt that clouds us, that clouds our vision, that prevents us from getting in the Word, that keeps us out of His presence. Oh, He don't like me. There's no way. So I hope you were able to get something out of the message today, because I was. I wrote a lot, but God kind of ministered to me as well. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for Your love. I thank You for the truth that we need in order just to take one step at a time. Sometimes we get ahead of You, God. For You, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. But for us, God, we get impatient. We start looking around at our circumstances. And God, we lose sight of who You are. We lose sight of Your promises. We lose sight of the basics that You've given us to do day in and day out, God. And then that leads us to a place that we don't want to be. So, God, I confess to You today that I've tried to do things in my own might, in my own power. And I confess that sin to You today. God, I confess, Lord God, that I haven't stayed in Your presence enough. Forgive me, God. I don't know what it looks like even today or even tomorrow, Lord God, what it means in order to stay close to You, God. But I ask that Your Holy Spirit would do it. I believe that You have the power to do it. I believe that You will bring to completion the work that You began in me. I believe that You will bring to completion the work that You began in all of us. God, help them to look at their mountains and to declare that it has become a plain in Your sight, Heavenly Father. God, we thank You. We love You. We magnify Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.